Jesus looked at him and said, in effect, if you are serious about getting well, if you're serious about getting your life in order, if you really want to get out of this mess, here's what you must do. Get up off the ground, take up your bed, and be on your way. When the man did what Jesus told him, he was miraculously healed. That's a message for us today. If you are serious about being well, if you really want to be made physically and emotionally whole, you must get up and get moving with your life. No more lying around feeling sorry for yourself. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming people or circumstances that disappointed you. Instead, start forgiving the people that hurt you. Usually, we can deal with a situation if we can find a file in our thinking in which to put it. He got into trouble because he was running with the wrong crowd. But what happens when things don't make sense? When a good person is stricken with a serious illness, or a child is born with a birth injury, or a husband or wife walks out of a marriage, what happens when life doesn't fit neatly into our categories? Each of us should have what I call an I don't understand it file. When something comes up for which you have no reasonable answer, instead of dwelling on it and trying to figure it out, simply place it in your I don't understand it file. In the meantime, you must muster enough faith to say, God, I don't understand it, but I trust you. And I'm not going to spend all of my time trying to figure out why certain things have happened. I'm going to trust you to make something good out of it. You're a good God, and I know that you have my best interest at heart, and you promise that all things will work together for my good. That is faith, and that is the attitude that God honors. And that's just what my sister Lisa had to do. She went through a very painful breakup in her marriage. It wasn't fair. She was mistreated and wronged. And yet for 7 years, Lisa prayed and believed that her marriage could be restored. She did everything she knew how to do, but for some reason, it just didn't work out. Lisa could have easily gotten bitter. She could have easily gotten depressed and said, God, this isn't fair. Why did this happen to me? But Lisa made a decision that she wasn't going to just sit around by the pool for 38 years feeling sorry for herself. She didn't get bitter. She got better. She rose up out of those ashes. She said, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust you anyway. You know my heart. You know I've done everything I can. I'm releasing it into your hands. Not long after she made that decision, God brought someone else into her life. And she and my brother-in-law, Kevin, have been happily married for many years. And please understand, I'm not telling you to give up on your marriage. You must do what God's leading you to do. The point I want you to see is that sometimes we go through things we just don't understand. Through it all, we must learn to keep a good attitude and trust that God is still in control of our lives, even when events are not going the way we had planned or hoped. If you will stay in an attitude of faith and victory, God has promised that He will turn those emotional wounds around. He'll use them to your advantage, and you will come out better than you would have had they not happened to you. Don't let bitterness take root. We all have had unfair and unjust things happen to us. That's a part of life. When we are hurt, we can choose to hold on to that pain, to become bitter, or we can choose to let it go and trust God to make it up to us. I heard somewhere that 70% of people today are angry about something. Imagine that. 7 out of every 10 people you encounter will be angry, and that's not counting the people who pass you on the freeway. People who harbor anger often don't realize it, but they are poisoning their own lives. When we don't forgive, we're not hurting the other person. We're not hurting the company that did us wrong. We're not hurting God. We're only hurting ourselves. If you want to live your best life now, You must be quick to forgive. Learn to let go of the hurts and pains of the past. Don't let bitterness take root in your life. The scripture says, make sure that no root of bitterness shoots forth and causes trouble, and many become contaminated by it. Notice bitterness is described as a root. Think about that. You can't see a root. It's deep down under the ground. But you can be sure of this, a bitter root will produce bitter fruit. If we have bitterness on the inside, it's going to affect every area of our lives. A lot of people are trying to improve their lives by dealing with the external fruit. They're attempting to rectify their bad habits, bad attitudes, a bad temper, or negative and sour personality. They're dealing with the fruit of their lives, trying to change those things, and that is noble. But the truth is, unless they get to the root, they will never be able to change the fruit. Because as long as that bitter root is growing on the inside, that problem will persist and keep popping up time and time again. You may be able to control your behavior for a while or keep a good attitude for a short period of time, but have you ever wondered why you can't really get free? Why can't you overcome that destructive habit? You have to go deeper. You must discover why you are so angry, why you can't get along with other people, why you're always so negative. If you'll look deeply and get to the root, then you'll be able to deal with the problem, overcome it, and can truly begin to change. I remember a young woman who came to my dad for spiritual help. She had gotten married, and for several years, she could not have a normal relationship with her husband. For some reason, she just couldn't fully give herself to this man. She loved him, but she couldn't stand for him to be close to her and to be intimate with her. As you can imagine, this problem was destroying their relationship. One day she had a dream, and it reminded her of something that had happened when she was a young girl. In this dream, she saw herself out in the lake swimming when several young boys came over and sexually assaulted her. She was so angry and so filled with hatred toward those boys, she began to scream, "I hate you, I hate you, and I'll never let another man touch me as long as I live." When she awakened, she realized that she still had all that anger and hatred in her heart toward those boys. It was buried deep down on the inside, and it was affecting her relationship with her husband many years later. She knew it wasn't going to be easy, but she recognized she had to deal with that unforgiveness, or she would never have a healthy relationship. She decided to release all that hurt and pain. She said, "God, you know it wasn't fair. You know what they did to me, but I'm not going to hold on to it any longer. I'm not going to allow the pain from the past to poison my present and my future. God, I forgive those boys right now." Interestingly, from that moment on, she was able to enjoy a healthy relationship with her husband. She couldn't change by dealing with the fruit. She had to get down to the root. And once the bitter root was gone, then she was able to break free from her past. Certainly, you don't need to go back and relive every negative experience, recalling all the painful memories of the past, but you should examine your heart to make sure that you haven't buried anger and unforgiveness on the inside. If you have areas in your life where you are constantly struggling, trying to change, but finding yourself unable to do so, you need to ask God to show you what's keeping you from being free. Ask God to show you if you have any bitter roots that need to be dug up and extracted. If God brings something to light, be quick to deal with it and be willing to change. Don't let the poisons of the past continue to contaminate your life. And sometimes, instead of forgiving quickly, letting go of the hurts and pains of the past, we quietly bury them deep down inside our hearts and minds. We don't want to talk about the issue. We don't want to think about it. We want to ignore it and hope that it'll go away. But it won't. One day, that contamination will show up in your life, and it'll be a mess. It will cause you even more pain and sorrow. If you refuse to deal with it, that bitterness could destroy you. A few decades ago, several American companies authorized by the U.S. government attempted to bury toxic waste products underground. They filled large metal containers with chemical waste and other life-threatening products, sealed the drums tightly, and buried them deep down below the topsoil. Within a short time, however, many of the containers began to leak, and the toxic waste started seeping to the surface, causing all sorts of problems. In some locations, it killed off the vegetation and ruined the water supply. People had to move out of their homes. In one section near Niagara Falls, known as the Love Canal, an inordinate number of people began dying of cancer and other debilitating diseases. Many communities are still suffering from the effects of toxic waste burials to this day. What went wrong? They tried to bury something that was too toxic. It couldn't be contained. They never dreamed that one day these contaminants would resurface and they would have to deal with it all over again. But this time, the toxic materials would be dispersed and much more difficult to deal with. Had they disposed of them properly in the first place, they wouldn't have this terrible problem. It's the same way with us. When somebody hurts us, somebody does us wrong, instead of letting it go and trusting God to make it up to us, we bury it deep down on the inside. We attempt to cram unforgiveness, resentment, anger, and other destructive responses into our leak-proof containers. We seal those lids tightly, then we put them aside and say, "Good, I'm not going to have to deal with that. I'm rid of it once and for all." But unfortunately, just as that toxic waste tends to resurface, one day the things you have tamped into your subconscious or buried deeply in the recesses of your heart will rise to the surface and begin to contaminate your life. We can't live with poison on the inside of us and not expect it to eventually do us harm. Face it, you are not strong enough to contain the toxicity in your life. You need help from someone bigger and stronger than yourself. That's why you need to give that bitterness, resentment, and other contaminants to God. Forgiveness is the key to being free from toxic bitterness. Forgive the people that hurt you. Forgive that boss that did you wrong. Forgive that friend that betrayed you. Forgive that parent that mistreated you when you were younger. Get rid of all that poison. Don't let that root of bitterness grow deeper and continue to contaminate your life. What does this toxic waste look like in our lives? For some people, it seeps out as anger. In other people, it smells like depression. For others, it reeks of low self-esteem. You may be thinking, "Joel, I can't do it. It's too hard. I can't forgive. They hurt me too badly." Wait a minute. You are not forgiving for their sake. You are forgiving for your sake. You are forgiving so that poison doesn't continue to contaminate your life. If somebody has done you a great wrong, don't allow them to continue to hurt you by hanging on to it. You're not hurting them at all. You're only hurting yourself. I recently watched a television program about Rudy Tomjanovich, the former coach of the Houston Rockets basketball team. The program recounted an event in 1973 when, as a robust 25-year-old, Rudy was playing for the Rockets. In the middle of a close game, a fight broke out at center court. Rudy rushed over there, running at full speed, to try to break it up. Just as he got there, a player whipped around and, without even looking, swung as hard as he could. Unfortunately, the punch landed right in Rudy's face. It was called the punch that was heard around the world. It fractured Rudy's skull, breaking his nose and cheekbones. He had spinal fluid leaking out. It nearly killed him. Although Rudy was sidelined for months following that devastating blow, he eventually recovered. One day after Rudy had recuperated, a reporter asked him, "Rudy, have you ever forgiven the player that did that to you?" Without hesitation, he said immediately, "Absolutely, I've totally forgiven him." The reporter stared at him in disbelief. He finally asked, "Rudy, tell me, how did you do it? How could you possibly forgive that man who hurt you so badly?" Rudy replied, "I knew if I wanted to move on with my life, I had to let it go. And I didn't do it for him, I did it for me. I did it so that I could be free. And that's good advice. You need to forgive so that you can be free. Forgive so you can be happy. Forgive so you can get out of that bondage. We have to remember, when we forgive, we're not just doing it for the other person, we're doing it for our own good. When we hold on to unforgiveness and we live with grudges in our hearts, all we're doing is building walls of separation. We think we're protecting ourselves, but we're not. We are simply shutting other people out of our lives. We become isolated, alone, warped, and imprisoned by our own bitterness. Those walls aren't merely keeping people out. Those walls are keeping you pinned in. Do you realize that those walls will also prevent God's blessings from pouring into your life? Those walls can stop up the flow of God's favor. The walls of unforgiveness will keep your prayers from being answered. They'll keep your dreams from coming to pass. You must tear down the walls. You must forgive the people that hurt you so you can get out of prison. You'll never be free until you do. Friend, if you will do your part and keep the poison out of your life, you'll see God's favor and blessings in a new way. Let God bring justice in your life. God has promised if we will put our trust in Him, He will pay us back for all the unfair things that have happened to us. Maybe you were cheated in a business deal and you lost a lot of money. Maybe somebody lied about you and that misinformation kept you from getting a promotion. Or maybe a good friend betrayed you. Certainly, those kinds of losses leave indelible scars, causing you to want to hold on to your grief. It would be logical for you to seek revenge. Many people would even encourage you to do so. The slogan, "Don't get mad, get even," is a commonly accepted principle in America today. But that is not God's plan for you. If you want to live your best life now, you must learn to trust God to bring about the justice in your life. The Bible says God is a just God, and He will settle and solve the cases of His people. That means you don't have to go around trying to pay everybody back for the wrongs they've done to you. God is your vindicator. You need to start letting God fight your battles for you. Let God settle your cases. God has promised if you'll turn matters over to Him and let Him handle it His way, He'll make your wrongs right. He'll bring justice into your life. And it takes faith to believe that God wants to vindicate you, but He really does. Don't make the mistake of sinking down to your offender's level, getting into arguments and fighting. Leave it up to God. Take the high road, respond in love, and watch what God will do. If you will do it God's way, He'll not only fight your battles for you, but in the end, you'll come out better off than you were before. And sometimes God allows us to go through certain things to test us. If you have somebody in your life right now who is not treating you right, that situation may very well be a test of your faith. God is interested in seeing how you're going to respond. Will you get negative, bitter, or angry? Are you going to develop a vindictive attitude, always trying to pay people back? Or are you going to turn it over to God, trusting Him to make the wrongs right? Are you going to pass that test so God can promote you? A few years ago, Victoria and I had somebody in our lives who really did us wrong. It was in a business deal in which a person didn't keep his end of the bargain. He did some things that were questionable and ended up cheating us out of a lot of money. We said, "God, You see what's happening. You know we're being mistreated. You know that what this man is doing is wrong. But God, we're not going to try to get even. We're not going to try to avenge ourselves. We're going to leave that door open, counting on You to make it up to us." This process continued for several years, and we didn't see any change. We had to keep reminding ourselves that God is a God of justice. And one day, out of the clear blue, God not only moved that man out of our lives, but He paid us back in abundance for everything he had taken. Sadly, the man who tried to cheat us eventually lost everything, his family, his business, his reputation, everything. And I certainly don't wish that on anybody. But that, too, is the justice of God. You cannot go around continually doing wrong, cheating people, sowing bad seeds, and not expect it to eventually catch up to you. We will reap exactly what we've sown. Maybe you've been working through a situation, and you've been doing the right thing for a long time. You've been taking the high road and forgiving somebody time and time again. You keep overlooking their faults. You keep biting your tongue, even when they're rude to you. You've kept a good attitude, even though they've mistreated you. Perhaps this has gone on for month after month, maybe even year after year, and now you're tempted to get discouraged. You're wondering, is God ever going to change this situation? Is God ever going to bring justice? Does He even care about what I'm going through? No, don't give up. Keep doing the right thing. God is building character in you, and you are passing that test. Remember, the greater the struggle, the greater the reward. And we must trust God to bring justice in His timing, not ours. Sometimes you're going to have to do the right thing when the wrong thing is happening to you, and it may be a long time before you see any kind of change. It may require a strong will on your part and a determination to trust despite the odds. You may have somebody in your life that has authority over you, a boss, a supervisor, a parent, or somebody in a position of leadership who is treating you unfairly. You know what they are doing is wrong, and they probably know it too. Consequently, you may be tempted to treat that person with disdain or disrespect. The truth is, whether that person is behaving correctly or not, God expects us to honor his or her position of authority. Don't make excuses and try to justify in your mind why you are free to speak or act disrespectfully toward that person. If you refuse to live under authority, God will never promote you to a position of greater authority. Back in the late 1950s, my dad had everything in the world going for him. He was a successful pastor of a thriving church in Houston, and the congregation had just built a big, beautiful new building. Daddy was on the state board for his denomination, and everyone regarded him as a rising leader on his way up in the hierarchy of the church. But in 1958, Daddy developed a desire to delve more deeply into the things of God. He wasn't satisfied to grow stagnant in his spiritual journey, and he didn't want the church to become complacent either. As Daddy studied the scriptures, he realized that God wanted to do more for his people than what most folks were accustomed to receiving. He told the congregation that he saw more clearly that God was a good God, a heavenly Father, rather than a demanding, impossible-to-please judge. Daddy taught the people that God wanted them to be happy, healthy, and whole, and he began to pray for people who were sick or otherwise in need. Much to my dad's surprise, many of the people in that congregation didn't appreciate his fresh discoveries. They were steeped in their traditions, and because Daddy's enthusiastic, fiery messages weren't exactly what they were used to hearing, it made some of them uncomfortable. And even though Daddy was teaching them right out of the Bible, they were upset that the supernatural God that he was describing didn't fit into their denominational guidelines. And the congregation took a vote to see whether they wanted him to stay or leave. When the ballots were all counted, Daddy had plenty of votes to stay. But over the next few months, some of the people treated him so badly and were so disrespectful to him, he knew the best thing he could do for that church was to just move on. Naturally, he was disappointed and heartbroken. He had poured his heart and soul into that place, and now he would have to start all over again. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. The congregation didn't treat him as he deserved, and Daddy could have easily left there bitter. He could have harbored anger and resentment in his heart toward some of those people. But Daddy let those hard feelings go. His attitude was, God, I know you're going to make this up to me. I know you will prosper me wherever I go, and you will bring about justice in my life. Daddy made the decision that he was going to go with God, and in 1959, he left the safety and security of that large, established church, and he went down the road to a small, run-down, abandoned feed store called East Houston Feed and Hardware. It was a beat-up building, dirty, with holes in the floor, but Daddy and approximately 90 other people cleaned it up, and on Mother's Day, they started what they called Lakewood Church. More than 45 years later, Lakewood is still going strong, still seeing God's miracles, blessings, and favor, still touching people all over the world. God knows how to bring justice into your life as well. If you will leave your concerns in God's hands, He will settle your cases. He will make your wrongs right. He's promised to take that evil and turn it around and use it to your advantage. It doesn't matter how badly someone has hurt you or how far their actions or words have set you back. God can turn that situation around and make it all up to you, plus much, much more. Leave it up to God. Live a life of forgiveness. Don't go around trying to pay people back, trying to get revenge. God sees every wrong that's being done to you. God sees every person that's ever hurt you. He's keeping the record. And the scripture says, if you don't avenge yourself, God will pay you back. And friend, He'll not only pay you back, but He'll pay you back in abundance. Defeating disappointments. One of the most important keys to living your best life now, as well as moving forward into the great future God has for you, is learning how to overcome the disappointments in life. Because disappointments can pose such formidable obstacles to letting go of the past, you need to be sure you have dealt with this area before taking the next step to living at your full potential. All of us face disappointments from time to time. No matter how much faith you have or how good of a person you are, sooner or later, something or somebody will shake your faith to its foundations. It may be something simple, such as not getting that promotion that you really hoped for, not closing the big sale that you worked so hard on, not qualifying for a loan to buy that house that you really wanted. Or it may be something more serious, a marriage relationship falling apart, the death of a loved one, or an incurable, debilitating illness. Whatever it is, that disappointment possesses the potential to derail you and wreck your faith. And that's why it's so vital that you recognize in advance that disappointments will come and that you learn how to stay on track and deal with them when they do. Often, defeating disappointments and letting go of the past are the flip sides of the same coin, especially when you are disappointed in yourself. When you do something wrong, don't hold on to it and beat yourself up about it. Admit it, seek forgiveness, and move on. Be quick to let go of your mistakes and failures, hurts, pains, and sins. The disappointments that disturb us the most, however, are usually those caused by other people. Many individuals who have been hurt by others are missing out on their new beginnings because they keep reopening old wounds. But no matter what we have gone through, no matter how unfair it was or how disappointed we were, we must release it and let it go. Disappointments almost always accompany setbacks. When you suffer loss, of course you will feel strong emotions. Nobody expects you to be an impenetrable rock or an inaccessible island in the sea. Not even God expects you to be so tough that you simply ignore the disappointments in life, shrugging them off as though you are impervious to pain. No, when we experience failure or loss, it's natural to feel remorse or sorrow. That's the way God made us. But if you are still grieving and feeling sorry over a disappointment that took place a year ago or more, then something is wrong. You are hindering your future. You must make a decision that you are going to move on. It won't happen automatically. You will have to rise up and say, I don't care how hard this is. I don't care how disappointed I am. I'm not going to let this get the best of me. I'm moving on with my life. The enemy loves to deceive us into wallowing around in self-pity, fretting, feeling sorry for ourselves, or having a chip on our shoulder. You can't unscramble eggs. What's done is done. Let the past be the past and go on. So you've suffered some setbacks. You didn't get what you were praying about. Things didn't go your way. Friend, you are not alone. many fine, upstanding individuals have experienced something similar. The Bible says the mercies of God are fresh and new every single day. God knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows we're not perfect, so He provides fresh, new mercy and grace every day. God doesn't condone our sins. He doesn't wink at our wrongdoing, but God doesn't automatically condemn us either. The Bible says, "The Lord is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." If you're going to avoid getting trapped in your past, you must learn to forgive yourself. You must be willing to accept God's mercy. You can't be so critical of yourself that you won't receive what God has to offer. Maybe you made some bad choices. Now you're trying to correct the things you've done wrong. That's noble, and to the extent that you can make restitution for any hurt you've inflicted on others, you should attempt to do so. But you must understand, you can't always repair every broken piece of your life or somebody else's life. You can't fix every mistake or clean up every mess that you've ever made. You may be trying to pay a debt that you simply cannot possibly pay. Perhaps it's time that you receive God's mercy and forgiveness so you can move on with your life. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not suggesting that you take the easy way out, ignoring or abdicating responsibility for your actions. As much as you are able, you should seek forgiveness from and make restitution to those whom you have hurt. But frequently, little can be done to correct the past. When you know the situation is over and done, the best thing to do is just move on. When God allows one door to close, He will open up another door for you, revealing something bigger and better. The Bible says that God will take the evil that the enemy brings into our lives, and if we'll keep the right attitude, He'll turn it around and use it for our good. God wants to take your scars and turn them into stars. He wants to take those disappointments and turn them into reappointments. But understand, whether you will experience all those good things in your future depends to a large extent on your willingness to let go of the past. And you can't put a question mark where God has put a period. Avoid the tendency to dwell on what you could have done, which college you should have gone to, which career you should have pursued, or that person you wish you would have married. Quit living in a negative frame of mind, stewing about something that is over and done. Focus on what you can change rather than what you cannot. Shake yourself out of that should have, could have, would have mentality and move on. Don't let the regrets of yesterday destroy the hopes and dreams of tomorrow. Sometimes, because of wrong choices, disobedience, or sin, we miss out on God's plan A for our lives. But the good news is, God has a plan B, a plan C, or whatever it takes to get us to His final destination for our lives. Worse yet, maybe you weren't the person who made the bad choices, but somebody else's foolish decisions caused you to experience wrenching heartache and pain. Regardless, you must stop dwelling on it. Let the past be the past. Forgive the person who caused you the trouble and start afresh right where you are today. If you will continue to dwell on those past disappointments, you will block God's blessings in your life today. The prophet Samuel suffered a horrible disappointment in his relationship with the first king of Israel, a man named Saul. As a young man, Saul was humble and shy. Then at God's direction, Samuel picked him out of the crowd and declared him to be the king of Israel. Samuel did his best to help Saul be a king, pleasing unto God. Unfortunately, Saul refused to live in obedience to God, and God eventually rejected him as the king. Imagine how Samuel must have felt. Maybe you've been in a relationship where you put a lot of time, effort, money, emotion, and energy into it. You did your best to make it work out, but for some reason, things got off course, and now you feel as though you have been robbed. That's how Samuel must have felt, devastated, heartbroken, disappointed. But as Samuel was nursing his wounded heart, God asked him an important question. "Samuel, how long are you going to mourn over Saul? How long are you going to mourn over your past disappointments? God is asking us similar questions today. How long are you going to mourn over that failed relationship? How long are you going to mourn over your broken dreams? That's the problem with excessive mourning. When we focus on our disappointments, we stop God from bringing the fresh, new blessings into our lives. God went on to tell Samuel, "Fill up your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to the house of Jesse, for I have chosen one of his sons to be the new king." In other words, God said, "Samuel, if you'll quit mourning and get going, I'll show you a new, better beginning." Remember, God always has another plan. Yes, Saul was God's first choice, but when Saul wouldn't walk in obedience, God didn't say, "Well, Samuel, I'm sorry, Saul blew it, and that ruins everything." No, God always can come up with another plan. And if you will stop feeling sorry for yourself and instead do what the Bible says, your future can be brighter than ever. Samuel could have said, "God, I just can't do this. I'm too heartbroken. I gave so much of myself in that relationship. Now it's gone. It's wasted." But if Samuel had not trusted God at that point, he may have missed King David, one of the greatest kings in the Bible. In the same way, if we wallow in our disappointments, we risk missing out on the new thing God wants to do in our lives. It's time to get up and get going. God has another plan for you, and it's better than you can imagine. My sister Lisa and her husband Kevin tried for years to have a baby, but Lisa could not conceive. She and Kevin longed to have a child, so Lisa tried all sorts of medical procedures. At the end of the process, Lisa went back to the doctor to see if there was any possibility of her becoming pregnant, and the doctor offered no hope. Lisa was heartbroken. She thought, "God, we've endured all this time and effort. We've tried so hard. We prayed. We believed. We spent all this money. God, it's all such a waste. It seems so unfair." Sometimes we don't understand why certain things don't work out. I can't tell you why one person gets healed and another person does not, when they're both praying and believing and standing in faith. But we must get to the point where we trust God even when we don't understand Him. Some things you shouldn't even try to figure out. Let them alone and go on. God is in control. The Bible says God's ways are higher and better than our ways. God knows what He's doing. He knows what's best for us. And God always has another plan. If you'll quit dwelling on your disappointments, God will show you what that plan is. And that's exactly what Lisa and Kevin did. They finally came to the point where they said, "God, we're putting this totally in your hands. We've done everything we know to do. Yes, we're disappointed, but we're not going to get trapped in the past. We're going to move on with our lives, knowing that you're in control, you're a good God, and you have good things in store for us." A few months later, they received a telephone call from a dear friend of ours, Nancy Alcorn. Nancy is the founder and president of Mercy Ministries of America, a ministry that takes care of young women at risk, including those dealing with premarital pregnancies. When a young woman gives birth to a baby and wishes to give up the child for adoption, Mercy Ministries helps place that child with a loving Christian husband and wife. "Lisa, I don't even know why I'm calling you," Nancy said. "I normally would never do this, but we have a teenager who is about to give birth to twin girls, and we were just wondering if you and Kevin might be interested in adopting them. It may not work out, though. I know you and Kevin have all the other qualifications, but one of the birth mother's stipulations is that her baby be placed in a family with twins in their background." Little did Nancy know that Kevin, Lisa's husband, has a twin sister, and it has always been his dream that he would one day raise twins. God answered a specific prayer of a young lady giving up her baby for adoption while fulfilling a dream of Kevin and Lisa's at the same time. A few months later, Lisa and Kevin were able to adopt, at childbirth, two beautiful baby girls. God had another plan. But if Lisa had not been willing to let go of her own plan, if she had not been willing to get over her disappointments, I don't believe that God's new plan would have opened up for her and Kevin. We all encounter circumstances that can cause us to grow negative, bitter, or disappointed with ourselves or God. But I love what the Apostle Paul said, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal." In other words, Paul was saying, I'm not going to dwell on yesterday's disappointments or my past failures. I'm not going to think about what I've done or should have done. No, I'm leaving all that behind, and I'm looking ahead for the good things God has in store for me. And that's the kind of attitude we all should have as well. Every morning when you get up, refuse to dwell on what you did wrong the day before. Refuse to dwell on yesterday's disappointments. Get up each day knowing that God is a loving, forgiving God, and He has great things in store for you. Finding strength through adversity. Getting up on the inside. Many people give up far too easily when things don't go their way or they face some kind of adversity. Instead of persevering, they get all bent out of shape. Before long, they're down and discouraged. And that's understandable, especially when we've struggled with a problem or a weakness for a long time. It's not unusual to come to a place where we acquiesce. But if you want to live your best life now, you have to be more determined than that. The fifth step to living at your full potential is to find strength through adversity. Our attitude should be, I may have been knocked down a few times, but I'm not going to stay down. I'm determined I'm going to live in victory. I'm determined I'm going to have a good marriage. I'm determined I'm going to work my way out of these problems. You may have gotten a bad report from the doctor. Maybe you lost your largest client at work. Perhaps you just found out that your child is in trouble. You may be facing some other serious setback, and you feel as though life has caved in on top of you, knocking you off your feet, pushing you down. But the good news is, you don't have to stay down. Even if you can't get up on the outside, get up on the inside. In other words, have that victor's attitude and mentality. Stay in an attitude of faith. And don't allow yourself to lapse into negative thinking, complaining, or blaming God. No, set your face like a flint and say, God, I may not understand this, but I know you are still in control. And you said that all things would work together for my good. You said you would take this evil and turn it around and use it to my advantage. So, Father, I thank you that you are going to bring me through this. No matter what you face in life, if you know how to get up on the inside, adversities cannot keep you down. The scripture says, when you've done everything you know how to do, just keep on standing firm. You may be in a situation today where you have done your best. You've prayed, you believed, you've placed your faith firmly on the truth of God's word, but it just doesn't look like anything's happening. Now you're tempted to say, what's the use? It's never going to change. No, don't give up. Keep standing. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep hoping on in faith. Don't cast away your confidence, one translation of the Bible says, for payday is coming. I like that. Payday is coming. Friend, God will reward you if you will keep standing up on the inside. You may be in the hospital or lying flat on your back at home, but even if you cannot stand up physically, nothing can keep you from standing up on the inside. I talked to a man the other day who had recently lost his job. He had been making a good salary, working in a prestigious position, but then suddenly he was let go. When he first told me what had happened, I was certain that he was going to get upset and distraught. But I was wrong. When he came to see me, he was as happy as can be. He had a big smile on his face. He said, Joel, I just lost my job, but I can't wait to see what God has in store for me next. See, he had been knocked down by circumstances outside his control, but he was still standing up on the inside. He had a victor's mentality. His attitude was, this thing is not going to defeat me. This thing is not going to steal my joy. I know I'm the victor and not the victim. I know when one door closes, God will open a bigger and a better door. Your attitude should be similar. You can say, even if the enemy hits me with his best shot, his best will never be good enough. He may knock me down, but he cannot knock me out. When it's all said and done, when the smoke clears and the dust settles, I'm still going to be standing strong. The Bible says, no man can take your joy. That means no person can make you live with a negative attitude. No circumstance, no adversity can force you to live in despair. As Eleanor Roosevelt, the wife of wheelchair-bound President Franklin D. Roosevelt, often said, nobody can make you feel inferior without you allowing them to do so. No matter what you are going through, or how difficult it may seem, you can stay standing up on the inside. It may take courage, it will definitely take determination, but you can do it if you decide to do so. You must act on your will, not simply your emotions. One day, before he became king of Israel, David and his men were out patrolling, doing what God had told them to do. But while they were away, some bandits attacked their city. The marauders burned down all their homes, stole their possessions, and kidnapped the women and children. When David and his men returned, they were devastated. They wept until they could not weep anymore. But as David sat out there among the ruins, watching the smoke and ashes fill the air, he made a decision that changed his destiny. He was knocked down on the outside, but he decided he was going to get up on the inside. And that victor spirit began to rise within him. Instead of just sitting around mourning over what he had lost, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In other words, he got up on the inside. He said to his men, get your armor back. We're going to attack the enemy. And they did just that. As David and his men persevered, God supernaturally helped them to recover everything that had been stolen. You may be sitting around waiting for God to change your circumstances. Then you're going to be happy. Then you're going to have a good attitude. Then you're going to give God praise. But God is waiting on you to get up on the inside. When you do your part, He'll begin to change things. Then He'll work supernaturally in your life. You may be weary and tired, worn down and ready to give up. You may be saying, I'm never going to break this addiction. I've had it for so long, I wouldn't even know how to function without it. Or my income is so low and my debts are so high, I don't see how my financial situation will ever get better. Or I've been praying for years, but it doesn't look as though my children want to serve God. I've had about as much of this as I can take. No, don't allow yourself to wave the white flag of surrender. You must get out of that defeated mentality and start thinking and believing positively. Your attitude should be, I'm coming out of this thing. With God's help, you can get back up on the inside. You must show the enemy that you're more determined than he is. Shout aloud if you must, I'm going to stand in faith, even if I have to stand my whole lifetime. I'm not going to give up and settle for mediocrity. I'm going to keep believing for the best. I'm going to keep standing up on the inside, no matter how long it takes. God wants you to be a winner, not a whiner. There is no reason for you to be perpetually living under the circumstances, always down, always discouraged. No matter how many times you get knocked down, keep getting back up again. God sees your resolve. He sees your determination, and when you do everything you can do, that's when God will step in and do what you cannot do. Friend, life is too short to trudge through it depressed and defeated. No matter what has come against you or what is causing you to slip and fall, no matter who or what is trying to push you down, you need to keep getting up on the inside. If you want to give your enemy a nervous breakdown, learn to keep a good attitude even when the bottom falls out. Learn to be happy even when things don't go your way. When many people face adversity, they allow their doubts to cloud their determination, thus weakening their faith. They don't persevere. They don't keep a good attitude. Ironically, because their spirit is not right, they remain in that situation longer than necessary. Medical science tells us that people with a determined, feisty spirit usually get well quicker than people who are prone to be negative and discouraged. That's because God made us to be determined. We were not created to live in depression and defeat. And a negative spirit dries up your energy. It weakens your immune system. And many people are living with physical ailments or emotional bondage because they are not standing up on the inside. No, get rid of that mindset that's telling you you can't do it. You can't be happy. You have too much to overcome. You've had too sour of a past. You've been too mistreated. You've got too many obstacles in your path. No, those are all lies from the enemy. You can be happy if you want to. You can stand strong if you have a determined spirit. You can do whatever you need to do. When you face adversity, remind yourself, I am full of God's can-do power. I can overcome. I can live in victory. I can stand up on the inside. Learn to tap into the can-do power that God has placed inside you rather than rolling over in the face of adversity. God has destined you to live in victory, but you have to do your part. Make a firm decision that no matter what comes against you, you are going to keep standing up on the inside. Trusting God's timing. Human nature tends to want everything right now. We're always in a hurry. Most of us get impatient even when we miss a turn on a revolving door. When we pray for our dreams to come to pass, we want them to be fulfilled immediately. But we have to understand, God has an appointed time to answer our prayers and to bring our dreams to pass. And the truth is, no matter how badly we want it sooner, no matter how much we pray and plead with God, it's not going to change His appointed time. It's still going to happen on God's timetable. Because we sometimes don't understand God's timing, we live upset and frustrated, wondering when God is going to do something. God, when are you going to change my husband? When are you going to bring me a mate? God, when is my business going to take off? When are my dreams going to come to pass? When you understand God's timing, however, you won't live all stressed out. You can relax knowing that God is in control, and at the perfect time, He is going to make it happen. The Scripture says, the vision is for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it will come to pass. One translation says, it won't be 1 second late. Notice it's called an appointed time. It may be next week, next year, or 10 years from now. But whenever it is, you can rest assured that it will be in God's perfect timing. We all have to wait patiently. That's a part of learning to trust God. The key is how are we going to wait? What will be our physical, emotional, and spiritual demeanor? Are we going to wait with a good attitude, with expectancy, knowing that God has great things in store? Or are we going to get upset, frustrated, and muttering complaints? God, you never answer my prayers. When is my situation ever going to change? Consider this. If you know you have to wait anyway, why not make a decision to enjoy your life while you're waiting? Why not be happy while God is in the process of changing things? After all, there's nothing we can really do to make it happen any faster. We might as well relax and enjoy our lives, knowing that at the appointed time, God is going to bring His plan to pass. When you are trusting God, you can be at peace, knowing that at the right time, God will keep His promise. It's going to happen, and the good news is, it's not going to be 1 second late. Imagine how much pressure that can take off of you. Understand, God is at work in your life, whether you can see anything happening externally or not. In fact, one could almost make a case that God often works the most when we see it and feel it the least. You may not see any progress. Your situation may look the same as it did 3 months ago or even 3 years ago. But you must trust that deep inside of your life, God is at work. Beyond that, behind the scenes, He's putting all the pieces together. He's getting everything lined up, and one day, at the appointed time, you will see the culmination of everything that God has been doing. Suddenly, your situation will change for the better. David had a big dream for his life. He had a desire to make a difference. But as a young man, he spent many years as a shepherd, caring for his father's sheep. And I'm sure there were plenty of times when he was tempted to think that God had forgotten him. He must have thought, God, what am I doing out of here? There's no future in this place. I want to do something big for you. When are you ever going to change this situation? But David understood God's timing. He knew that if he would be faithful in obscurity, at the right time, God would promote him. You know the story. God brought David out of those fields. He defeated Goliath, and eventually he was made king of Israel. Perhaps you have a big dream in your heart, a dream to have a better marriage, a dream to own your own business, a dream to help hurting people. But like David, you don't really see any human way your dream could happen. I have good news for you. God is not limited to natural, human ways of doing things. If you will trust God and keep a good attitude, staying faithful right where you are and not getting in a hurry and trying to force things to happen, then at the right time, in your due season, God will promote you. He will bring your dreams to pass. If you're not seeing God move in your life right now, one of two possibilities must be considered. Either your requests are not God's best and will probably not be answered the way you would like, or it must not be the right time. If God were to answer that prayer the way you are hoping, it could interfere with His ideal plan for you. Consider this possibility. You may be ready for what God has for you, but somebody else that is going to be involved is not ready yet. God has to do a work in another person or another situation before your prayer can be answered according to God's will for your life. All the pieces have to come together for it to be God's perfect time. But never fear, God is getting everything lined up in your life. You may not feel it, you may not see it. Your situation may look just as it did for the past 10 years, but then one day, in a split second of time, God will bring it all together. When it's God's timing, all the forces of darkness cannot stop Him. When it's that appointed time, no man can keep it from happening. When it's your due season, God will bring it to pass. Shelby was an attractive woman in her mid-30s who genuinely desired to be married. She had prayed and prayed, but had never even had a serious relationship with a man. In fact, she told me she hadn't even been out on a date within the last 2 or 3 years. But one day, she was driving home from work when she had a flat tire and had to pull her car over to the side of the freeway. A few seconds later, another car pulled over behind her, and out stepped a handsome young man. He not only changed Shelby's tire, he invited her out to dinner. About a year later, they got married, and today they are wonderfully happy and in love. Now think about the odds of such an occurrence. That certainly was not an accident or a coincidence. That was God at work in the lives of two young adults. Think about the timing involved in their meeting. Her tire had to go bad at just the right time. There had to be just the right amount of traffic on the freeway. Had there been too many cars, he would have been late. Too few cars, he would have been early. That young man had to catch the right elevator leaving the office. He had to get stopped by just the right amount of traffic lights. All the timing had to go down to the split second in order for his car to be shortly behind Shelby's when her tire went flat. Don't ever think that God is not at work in your life. He's making things happen even when you don't realize it. Just stay in an attitude of faith and learn to trust His timing. I remember a number of times when my dad tried to start construction on a new sanctuary for Lakewood Church. The congregation had grown too large for our facility, so several times over a 5-year period, Daddy had architects draw up some preliminary plans for a new building. But just as he was about to break ground, Daddy would sense a caution from God. He didn't feel right about pressing ahead. He didn't have a peace in his heart about it, so he'd just put it all on hold. At that time, my dad was in his early 60s, and a number of younger ministers across the country were building larger sanctuaries. Daddy felt pressured to build before it was too late. He'd get all fired up about starting the new project. Two or three times, he had announced to the congregation, "This fall, we're going to break ground for our new sanctuary." Fall rolled around. Daddy would get up in front of the church and say, "I've changed my mind. It's not the right time. I just don't feel peace about it." See, Daddy was smart enough to know that he needed to stay in God's perfect timing. The congregation possessed enough confidence in him to patiently abide by his convictions. Amazingly, when God finally did lead my dad to start construction, it was during what seemed to be the worst possible time. It was 2 weeks before Christmas, and Daddy had just